This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Greetings, my friends, patriots, lovers of democracy, truth, and justice, believers in peace, freedom, and the American way. Tom Hartman here with you. It is Wednesday. It's time for Middays with Mark. Congressman Mark Pocan is on the line with us for the hour, taking your calls at 202-808-9925. You can find his website at pocan.house.gov. And you can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan, as in Representative Mark Pocan. Congressman Pocan, welcome back.
Oh, thanks, Tom. Glad to be here.
It is always great having you with us. So it turns out that Donald Trump lied. He said that the FBI didn't want to be involved in an investigation involving Brett Kavanaugh. And the FBI just came out and said, no, that's what we do. We'd be glad to do that. We did that for Anita Hill. And in fact, we never told Trump or anyone at the White House that, you know, so what are your thoughts on all this?
No, I mean, this is starting to look like they could have some real problems if they decide to push this vote and push this last hearing without having an FBI investigation. I mean, you know, this whole story has been interesting, is how it's unfolded, from the president not telling the truth about the FBI to now him publicly attacking his attorney general once again. You know, it's gone in a very weird direction, but, you know, I think what they're not realizing is this is a very different time than Anita Hill, and if you take someone and treat someone this poorly with very serious allegations, that there is no way that people are going to support that, and it could really backfire for them. So we're going to have to see what unfolds over the next few days. Next week is going to be a crazy week in Washington. Could be our last week in the House before the election. There's some rumors that may happen in between that and this, you know, hearing and maybe a vote next week. It's going to be very exciting.
Is one of the reasons that they might be jamming everything into next week and then going on vacation until the election because they're worried, because the Republicans control the show, because they're worried that Donald Trump obsessively wants to shut down the government so he can make a point about his wall, and they're trying to short-circuit that?
Well, I think a bigger part, and that could be a part of it, but a bigger part is they just need their members in their districts, because traditionally people hate Congress but like their own member.
Mm-hmm.
They need to get members out, you know, smiling and not looking like the votes they actually take when they're in Washington. They want to make them be someone else, and they want them to get back home and be friendly. You know, I just was traveling. You know, I was in Omaha, Nebraska on Monday helping out Kara Eastman, who's running against Bacon, who is one of the more extreme folks in Congress. And, you know, she's a progressive, won a primary there, doing a great general election. Tom, by the way, I met a bunch of your listeners at an event. You got a lot of support in Omaha.
Cool.
A lot of listeners. And then the next day I went and helped Cindy Axney in the Des Moines, Iowa area. There, you know, there's a feeling out there. You can just, you know, see it. There's a lot of energy. And, you know, these are districts that if you pick up the Omaha district and a Des Moines district, there's a majority without question. And I think they're just nervous and they want to get their members home trying to look like they're not the people that tried to take away their health care and passed a tax bill that gave all the money to the 1% and, you know, all the other terrible things they've been doing this session.
Wow. Wow. By the way, Louise just came and told me that somebody just called who is apparently from your district in Wisconsin, who said that they just got an alert on their phone that there's an active shooter in the district. I don't have any details beyond that. I've got the TV networks up on monitors here in the studio, and I don't see anybody breaking to it, so it might just be one guy, one gun, one victim. Who knows? But just an FYI.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Anyhow, let's pick up some phone calls, okay?
Yes.
All righty. Joe in Buffalo, New York, you are on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, Joe.
Hello. I've got two little points here just to keep it in the public's eye and ear. The one, how are things going with that situation where Trump made that political investment and then all of a sudden Trump University investigation in Florida died? That's part one. Part two.
It was Pam Bondi was the one there.
Okay.
She was the
AG.
The
other thing, I don't hear a peep about it. And if you compare it to Benghazi, with the Republicans spending $30 million on that baloney, we had supposedly a Russian oligarch paying these mercenaries that attacked U.S. troops in Syria. and you don't hear a peep about that anymore. So that's the two things.
Yeah, Joe, let me answer it again a little more generally, because on the first one, I'm not sure. I mean, I think there's a lot of things, should the majority change, we will be investigating to make sure that, you know, we really are doing the due diligence that the public deserves on things. And but let me say, the bigger problem we often have is that the mainstream media does not pick up most of what happens in Washington. You know, they like to have the, you know, they have about 20 people they put on cameras. You know, they love to talk about Russia. They love to talk about a few other things. But we don't actually talk about real issues or things that people actually are concerned about, because if it doesn't help sell detergent during a commercial break, it's not the mission that they have. These are no longer the news organizations, I think, that we used to have. And unfortunately, in too many cases, they're still very good journalists. I'm a journalism major myself. I have great respect for the profession, but I think the business side of it has made it much harder to have the right things covered. And that's just a problem we have, which is why some of the work we're going to have to do is going to be at the hearing basis, should we take the majority.
Howard, in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yes, Congressman. Jake Tapper, he's from CNN. You know, he attacked the lady that's running for the district there. Her name is, I think, Cortez. And, you know, he attacked her that some of the things she listed she wanted to do would cost $38 trillion, and that was a vicious attack, and that's not true what she was asking for. I want to remind you, I don't know if you know about the story, of the gentleman by the name of Michael Chapin, who flew to Belgium for a hip replacement, and it cost $13,000. And that included the airfare and 6 days in a hospital room and a surgery. So we are priced out of the market. No wonder things cost so much money. If Belgium can do it, what's up with us?
Yeah, so Howard, let me address that part of it. I was just in Japan in a bipartisan delegation in February, and someone got talking about how, I believe it was in Taiwan, it's $10 a day, or is it $100 a day? Either way, for hospital care, for full care, considerably less than obviously a lot of the costs we have here. And how can they do that? And that's part of what we're trying to get across when we talk about a Medicare for All type system, is how can you make sure that everyone is covered, and how can you make sure that we can do it in a much more cost effective way, which there are so many things that would reduce costs should we be able to do that. So, you know, that's part of what we're trying to get done. There's now a Medicare for All caucus that's kind of been an offshoot from the Progressive Caucus. We're trying to engage more and more members, and we're going to try to make sure people understand why that issue is going to resonate. And I can tell you this, that I think is really important to know, is around the districts I just was in, the number one issue that's being talked about is health care. In fact, in Des Moines, David Young, the Republican there, voted for the Republican health care bill, 5 times voted against protecting pre-existing conditions, just put out a resolution with 27 swing district Republicans that's a non-binding resolution basically saying we support people with pre-existing conditions. So they voted over and over and over officially to take away health care from people who have pre-existing conditions, and now they're trying to, you know, put a little fake front out. You're going to get a lot of that between now and November.
Wow, the public statements have no political, no power. They're just, yeah, amazing. Yeah. Charisse in Independence, Missouri, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Thanks for taking my call. I'm going to touch on something from yesterday and then bring it into today. Right to work. Okay, so we got right to work passed here in Missouri. From where I'm from and the umbrella that I'm under, I've noticed that we have been under attack since 2007. That's when I became woke. And over the years, I have lost probably an upwards of 20-something thousand dollars a year. So my pay has gone down. The caller yesterday was talking about how he notices that in his paycheck that he's making more money. Okay, well, I don't see it over here. I don't see it for the people coming behind me. They're working for half the pay that I am. It takes them longer to get to full pay. Now that we've passed it, how is right to work going to work? Where are we supposed to go from here with it? And who do we turn to implement it and make it work for the people that are coming up behind us? Because I just don't see it. I mean,
I hear you. No, I'll tell you, from most of the statistics we see, Cherise, what we're finding is whenever you're in a non-unionized job, you're making significantly less than someone in a unionized job. So when you go to right to work, like we just did also in Wisconsin, you're going to see pay flatten or go down, and you're not going to see the same increases where you have more unionized jobs. And that's just factual from multiple studies. So, you know, what people either are offering anecdotal stories that often don't translate to a greater number, or some people could be referring to, they're seeing just a drop more, and I mean a drop, more in their paychecks because of the tax cut bill, even though 83% went to the top 1%, there's a little bit extra going to people in their checks. The problem is, when I had a conversation yesterday with a bunch of trades folks, carpenters and electricians, they also now lost their ability to deduct all the expenses that they have when they're traveling on the job. So actually, they got a pay cut because of that tax bill, and most people won't realize it until they go to pay their taxes in January or February of next year. So that could be what they refer to, but without question, unionized jobs are going to pay more than not.
Yeah, we should call right to work what it is. It's right to work for less, or right to bust a union, because so-called right to work legislation, all that does is give employers a whole new set of tools to break up unions. Period. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls here on Middays with Mark on the Tom Hartman Program. We'll be right back.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Congressman Pocan's website, pocan.house.gov, and you can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. And welcome back. Let's see here. Tony in Georgetown, Kentucky. Hey, Tony, thanks for listening on our app. You're on the air with Congressman Mark Pocan. What's up?
Hey, fellas. How did this thing get botched with this letter to Dianne Feinstein? I think it's a mess. And the way that was held on, I don't think that's right. I think we could have done so much more if that thing had been exposed. And because basically it seems like now, from now on, that everything else is gravy, you know, for the Republican Party, because with the 26 judges they've already instituted, with 10 more to come, and two Supreme Court people, everything else is gravy for them. I mean, the mission is accomplished, and I don't know how that happened. How can that happen? That's my take.
Sure, Tony. Well, I mean, let me. There's a lot there, so let me try to address the part I think that I can best address, which is, in the case of the letter, I mean, this is someone who didn't want to have to relive what happened. And while she wrote a letter to her member of Congress, and I think, you know, she's been very articulate in the stories I've heard from the journalists, especially that she talked to, this is something that, you know, a woman doesn't want to have to necessarily relive and go through the experience again, and she was afraid of exactly what happened. She's now getting death threats. They've had to move out of their house. All these things have happened that she was trying to avoid, and then finally decided she had to do something about this because it was going to come out. She wanted to do it on her terms. So I don't think this is something that, you know, there's a great political strategy to, you know, wait or anything else. I think this is a human being who said, look, this happened to me, I think someone should know, but I also don't want to have my life torn inside out, which is now exactly what's happened. And the fact that now we won't even do an FBI investigation, the bare minimum we need to on this, and instead a bunch of, let's face it, old white men in the Republican Party want to question her, this could be a true a true sign of the last gasp, I think, of this Republican Party, because they are not recognizing where the rest of the country is in this issue. So I don't think that, you know, there is a mistake in it. I think there's a human being in it. And but let's at the same time realize we've got a guy who may have perjured himself, looks like maybe four times, and now has this, and they want to just rush this appointment through. That's a real mistake.
Yeah. Do you, looking at the, we just have 40 seconds to the break, looking at the politics of this, it seems that this story has given cover to the Joe Manchins and Heidi Heitkamps and Claire McCaskill, you know, the four or five, Doug Jones, four or five conservadems in the Senate who are up for re-election and were concerned about this vote. Is it also going to give cover to Murkowski and Collins? Do you think that this actually has the power to change the vote?
You know, it should, right? If they're going to force this without an investigation, and again, a bunch of old white men make the decisions on this, this would be, this could be horrendous for them going into the elections. If they're not watching what's happening in the primaries and in the elections in November with polling around the country, they got to realize that this is not, it's not another Anita Hill situation. This is a different time in America, and it could really explode for them. So, you know, let Donald Trump be Donald Trump, I guess, but this is a human being, and this is going to be a situation a lot of people can feel and relate to.
And the day he's sworn in is the last day of Roe v. Wade. I mean, people need to get that. We'll be right back with Congressman Pocan. Welcome back. Congressman Mark Pocan on the line taking your calls. And Peter in Chicago. Peter, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, gentlemen. And then I have a question for the congressman that I hope I get an answer to. This is the most ridiculous, outrageous act happened in this woman.
Peter, your phone is totally disintegrating here.
Hang on, Tom. It'll get better. She doesn't remember where it happened. The only person she claims that was there has denied any knowledge of this. And her therapist's notes had four other people mentioned, but that was a mistake apparently on the therapist's part. This is such a crock, there's not enough there to investigate. The FBI even said so.
Now, she says there were four other people at the party.
On the therapist's notes, she mentioned four people were there when this occurred, and now they're saying that it's the therapist's mistake. This would never go over in a court of law. The police wouldn't even investigate this because there's not enough evidence. This man's had an outstanding record, and yet it's going to be besmirched because of the last attempt to keep him off the court.
His outstanding record, like trying to prove that Vince Foster was murdered by Hillary Clinton? It's bizarre. Congressman Pocan, your thoughts?
Yeah, I really don't know what to say. I mean, this is what we're seeing across the country, the last grasp by old white men who want to continue to have power in this country regardless of who's in charge. So here's someone, no matter what, the woman's wrong. He's saying things that are just factually not correct. I don't really want to have a debate with him, but I think this is exactly what I'm talking about when I say, you know, the rest of the country doesn't think like this. This is that small subset of the Trump supporters. And if they continue to push this, I think this backfires big time for them.
Yeah. Jesse in Miami. Jesse, a real quick one. We just have a minute to the break.
Yeah, Mr. Pocan, what do you think socialism is? Thanks.
Well, socialism is a political ideology that's out there. I don't know where you're trying to get exactly on this. I do think that, you know, the Republicans are trying to paint a picture that somehow socialism is bad and not necessarily the political definition of what it is, and they're trying to say that every Democrat is a socialist because they think that benefits them. Again, I see this as that last gasp of people who are going down in the water, who are trying to find attacks and put things out there to give people fear, right? That's how the Republicans generally have power, is they make people fear something. And I think, you know, that's what we're watching in this election cycle, Jesse.
Yeah, well said. Congressman Mark Pocan taking your calls for the hour. We'll be back in just a moment. You can contact Congressman Pocan via Twitter at Rep Mark Pocan, R-E-P Mark Pocan, M-A-R-K-P-O-C-A-N. And you can find his webpage at pocan.house.gov. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
Back in just a minute, or a few minutes actually, with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan. Welcome back. It's anything goes Friday. What? It is Middays with Mark, Congressman Mark Pocan, taking your calls today. And John in San Francisco, listening in on AM 910, our iHeartRadio affiliate in San Francisco. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning, Professor. Good morning, Congressman. How are you today?
Good, thank you.
Great.
Did you know there was a rumor going around that on Labor Day weekend, Trump was raising and lowering the flag so much that he tried to pay it off with a $130,000 payment?
Oh, no. That's terrible, John. Is that what you called to do?
No, I just decided to start with a little humor.
All right.
Anyway, my point is why can't we establish a pair of Congress people, Democratic Congress people, at the Congress every day of work around 2 p.m. West Coast time, 5 p.m., I guess it'd be East Coast, to discuss the business of the day of Congress from a Democratic perspective, so that it's covered eventually, because there's over 1,000 press people probably in D.C., I imagine you would be covered, and eventually it would permeate through the news cycle.
Congressman.
But, yeah, John, I wish it was as simple as that, because we do multiple press conferences a day, from leadership to caucuses to individual members.
Every single day?
Every single day. I don't think there's a day there's not, I would guess, a dozen press conferences by Democrats, okay. Not just on the House side, much less the Senate. We're always trying to get information out because clearly, you know, that's, we know we win. People agree with us on the issues, right? We want to be able to get the information out. The problem is it's just, you know, it's been very difficult with the mainstream media. You know, yes, there is the 24/7 social media, all the rest, and we can get things out there, but doesn't still reach the same amount of people. So we've been trying, and actually, you know, I think people are starting to get media in different ways, and there's a reason why we're doing so well across the country in the election cycles, because people are upset with the direction that they're seeing Congress go. So I guess it's at some level that information is getting out. It's just a lot more difficult to get it out in the way that we would like to, which is a lot of information out at one time.
Anita in San Antonio, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Congressman Pocan. Hi, Tom. Yeah, I am so angry when I heard that gentleman call and start calling this woman a liar. What reason would she have for making up a story like that? She is the one she's had to move out of her house with her teenage children. She is getting death threats. She knew exactly what was going to happen. That's why she took the lie detector test. That's why she had told her therapist years ago that this had happened to her. She's not lying. Women understand that. You know why? Because a lot of us have experienced something very similar to that, if not exactly like that. So, you know, I don't understand why these men, I agree with Mazie Hirono, and tell me if you agree, that men should either step up or shut up.
Yeah, I mean, there's no question. You know, one of the things already they were worried about was you can't have, I think, what is it, 11 more senior white Republicans trying to do questioning on this. I mean, let's face it, if anyone watched that Facebook hearing, you saw that, you know, let's face it, Congress is not a hip bunch, and there's certain, you know, general things. And when you get to the point of having a bunch of guys who already are deciding that she may not be telling the truth asking questions, I think it could really, really backfire. They should do the thorough process. You're exactly right, Anita. Why would someone lie about this? She purposely tried to stay out of it because she knew what would happen. Her life would be turned inside out. What's happened? Her life's turned inside out. This is not done for politics. She's doing it because someone's about to be appointed to the Supreme Court for the rest of their life. So this is something serious, and if they're saying, well, it's calendared, we're busy, I think you're going to have a whole lot of people, including moderate Republican-leaning women, saying you're not going to trust someone and you're just going to push it anyway because it was calendared. Well, maybe I'm not voting. Maybe I'm voting for the Democrats this time. So, you know, it's a shame that people still think like that, but we're all going to do our best to make sure that we get a fair hearing for her, and that we have the proper review and process in place. And yeah, Maisie Ferrano is exactly right.
Josh in Madison, Wisconsin, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, Mr. Pocan. Proud to have you as my representative.
Thank you, Josh.
I don't know if you heard the news yet or not, but there was a mass shooting in Middleton, Wisconsin today at an office building. And I just wanted to know, it seems in Wisconsin lately with Scott Walker as our governor and the Republicans controlling everything, they've been making it easier and easier to put guns in the hands of criminals by getting rid of waiting times and everything else. I just wanted to know if the Democrats are working to change any of that in the upcoming session.
Sure. Well, first of all, Josh, let me just give everyone an update because it was brought up at the beginning of the show. It's not necessarily that there's a bunch of we don't know what's happened yet. What we know is in Middleton, Wisconsin, someone supposedly went into a building with a gun. They are evacuating people out of the building. There were ambulances sent there, but no one from the medical examiner's office, which usually means there's a fatal shooting. We're not sure that anyone was even shot from the information we have yet. So we're still, just so everyone knows, we're monitoring it very closely, but we don't have a lot of information. It just all happened within the last hour. Absolutely at the congressional level, we are trying to address with the issue of guns. I mean, we've tried over and over, right? After every mass shooting, we've made one more effort. The thing I think that's finally breaking through is when the shooting happened with the Parkland students. It's being done in a different way than traditionally how we've talked about it. You suddenly have a bunch of young people who aren't afraid of anything, who are speaking from their hearts, the reality of their lives, and what they experienced, and it started a movement around the country of a lot of other young people speaking out on this issue. So, you know, I think we will absolutely deal with a number of the issues that we've already said we would do should we take the majority. But I think the interesting part about the moment right now is it's actually becoming a movement, and it's becoming a movement led by the youth. And to me, this is it feels different than all the other times when we didn't get something done. So I am hopeful.
Kent in Spokane, Washington, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Good morning, Congressman. I just have a question about the Kavanaugh theory.
Yeah.
Or his possible appointment. And I feel like everybody's hair's on fire about his possible appointment. And my question is this: who would benefit more by his appointment, President Trump or Putin? My feeling is this, that I know that everybody's pushing the theory that Trump wants him because he doesn't really stand for any presidential oversight. And so my theory is this, that Trump will be gone in 2 to 6 years, but if he gets in, Putin will benefit extremely well because he'll have a very strong conservative Supreme Court that supports the oligarchs, and Putin's in the process of dismantling democracies all over the world. So what say you?
Yeah, Kent, I don't know if I'm bought into that. I think, you know, when I look at Kavanaugh, one, I completely agree that the reason Donald Trump, I think, has interest in him is because he's the one person he looked at who said he doesn't think he should go after a president while they're in office. So I think that is definitely looming. But I think a lot of the reason that conservatives and Republicans want him is he is an extremist. He's a hardcore conservative judge that will now go into a lifetime position on the Supreme Court. So I don't know if there's a Putin factor here. Personally, I don't think that is an issue, but I do think you know, the Republicans have to be very careful on this, because as much as they want to have a conservative justice put in, they have to be careful how they proceed on the next week. And if they tell a woman who has made a very credible claim about this person, and they don't do an FBI investigation, they don't do any serious due process, I think there's going to be a real price to be paid. So let's hope for the best on this, but we are organizing with all the groups out there to make sure that she gets a fair hearing.
Russell in Hickory, Illinois, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, yes, thanks for taking my call, Mr. Pocan. You know, as a progressive looking in, who do you think's going to burn the Republican Party to the ground? Donald Trump, Kavanaugh, or just the name Republican? Because what you're going to see Monday, it's going to be an embarrassment to their party. Who? Orrin Hatch, who's calling her a nut, Grassley don't even want to hold this, or Corning. Because I'll tell you what, I think it's time to strip away women's rights between Collins. We forgot what's her name, the hog in Iowa, Joni Ernst and Lisa Murkowski, because they're an embarrassment to the women's movement. What do you think? Because you come to Illinois, our governor just fell a 26% approval rating. That's what he's going on when he's running for re-election. What do you think of that? You think it's time one of these three are going to burn this party to the ground?
Yeah. Well, I think Donald Trump is the one who is the leading candidate for that. He has taken what I think was a Republican Party based on somewhat conservative values, more so probably on special interest values, and made it about him, made it a cult of a personality, and he's now got, you know, roughly, depending on the poll, 35% of support, largely based on, you know, his more racist statements about where the country's going and what he sees for it. But that's tearing apart the Republican Party. And, you know, when you look at elections around the country, we're watching, people are just tired of it. It's not the country that they believe in. You know, you can disagree with someone ideologically, but, you know, when we're busy fighting about porn stars and assholes and very fine Klansmen and Nazis, this is more than most people who aren't political ever bargained for. And I think Donald Trump is probably leading it. And then I would put really close up there Paul Ryan and Mitch McConnell, who do absolutely nothing to stand up to it.
Yeah. If anything, the opposite, in fact, it seems.
Yeah. In fact, they are actually more culpable because I at least think they're adults.
Yeah. Amen. We'll be back with the Congressman Mark Pocan in just a minute. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan, his website, pocan.house.gov. He's the co-chair of the Congressional Progressive Caucus.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit tomhartman.com for audio and video archives.
And, of course, he brilliantly and ably represents the 2nd District of Wisconsin. We'll be right back. And welcome back. John in Edgewater, Florida, watching on Free Speech TV. You're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hello, yes. I'm a classic liberal, and I do believe, and I'm not a Trump supporter, in fact, I hate the guy, but there's no evidence whatsoever of this accuser's accusation. So, I mean...
Actually, that's not true, John. There is evidence.
Okay, well, yes, there was a witness... he's declined, or he said he wasn't even there.
No, there's the evidence of 6 years ago her telling this story to her therapist.
Oh,
and there's also, if you read my Twitter feed, John, you'll also find that there are a number of women who knew her back in that day who have come out and said, yeah, you know, this is the kind of stuff that went on. John, I'm going to cut you off. We've already heard from another troll who is trying to spout the Fox line. Congressman, did you want to respond to that, or do you want to just pick up another caller?
No, I mean exactly what you said. But Tom, I got to admit, this is what is unfortunate about this, right? Look how many people have called in already trying to take that type of a line, and they don't see the problem with taking that position.
Right.
But that is a true minority, and I think this is going to backfire for the real majority of this country that is pretty much disgusted by that type of thought.
I think you're right. Brian in Pacific Grove, California. Hey, Brian, thanks for watching us on YouTube. You're on with Congressman Pocan.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Your turn.
I love that last caller, too, had to disclaim that he was a liberal. Like, that makes it any better than conservative.
Yeah, if you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you. But anyhow, back to you.
I mean, personally, I'm actually a socialist, and the subject of my call is workers' cooperatives. I'm pretty flabbergasted that, I mean, just about the only people I hear even talking about them these days are you and Richard Wolff. And, I mean, it annoys me to a certain degree when I hear about these so-called progressives like Ocasio-Cortez talking about the government programs that we do need, but definitely not going far enough, I think, to even warrant a label of, like, social democrat or democratic socialist or whatever she's floating by these days.
Brian apparently wants to attack. It's bizarre the way that these kind of sideways attacks are coming in, Congressman.
Yeah, I'm not sure his question.
No, he just wanted to. He just wanted to slam Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. It's
yeah.
Rather sad.
If he wanted to actually talk about cooperatives, I'll be glad to. I help form a cooperative caucus in Congress if he wants.
Well, you have 46 seconds. Why don't you go for it?
Yeah, I mean, no. I mean, it's a very viable business model. We have, I think, more in my district than anywhere in the country, and that's a legit thing. If you just want to go after people who are going to be great new progressive members of Congress, simply because old white men are losing power in this country, I'm not sure if I can help.
Yeah. Well, I guarantee that every member of the Congressional Progressive Caucus, including one who will be, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, supports the idea of workers' co-ops. I mean, that's just...
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And, I've even got Republicans in the caucus. So that's if his issue
really?
Is with cooperatives, we got a lot of support. If his issue is with progressives, too bad.
Yeah, yeah, this circular firing squad. Except, you just never know. I mean, I've never heard from this guy before. He may well not even be a regular listener. Who knows? It's 10 minutes.
I didn't understand the question. So.
Yeah, there you go. 10 minutes before the hour. We'll be back with more of your calls for Congressman Pocan right after this. It's Anything Go. Why am I saying that? It is Middays with Mark, Congressman Mark Pocan, taking your calls today. And let's see here, Robert in Marshfield, Wisconsin. Robert, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, I want to talk about the multi-employer pension crisis. I'm with Central States, and I guess Central States and United Mine Workers are the ones that are about to go bankrupt by 2025, and there's supposed to be a bipartisan committee about, trying to deal with this crisis, and it's supposed to be handled by November. And I was just wondering if you knew what was going to happen with that, and if they're going to come up with some kind of solution. They said there was going to be a bailout. I thought it was $15 billion would take, which was actually a drop in a bucket compared to a lot of other bailouts. I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Yeah, Robert, so I don't know if I have great news for you in that there is a bipartisan bicameral commission put together to look specifically at that issue of the Central States Fund and the multi-employer pension issue. That, and perhaps they may go a little broader. First meeting was a dismal failure. They talked at each other, and Republicans don't really want to address this in the way I think that you would be very happy with. So they have met a couple times since then, but reality is there's not a lot of time between now and November to actually have that get done. There's good people on the Democratic side on that committee, some good friends of mine from our caucus who are working on the issue, but we have not seen what necessarily will give a result, especially a result, I think, of a bailout. I don't think will happen, but we also realize if we do nothing, a lot of people's lives are going to be very negatively affected. So this may be one that takes changing the majority to actually ensure that we can get this resolved.
Joe in Reno, Nevada, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Yeah, is this... hi. It's good to get into you, Tom. I have a way to overturn the House from Democrat, from Republican to Democrat. All you have to do is get this thing out. If you'd like to lower your standard of living, then vote Republican.
Congressman?
Yeah. I tell you, Joe, I'm with you in the idea is the Republicans are for very clearly a certain small sub-segment of the population. I mean, their tax bill, 83% of the money went to the top 1%. They lowered the rate for corporations. They've done everything they can to make it harder for people to have access to health care, and if you have a pre-existing condition, you could actually lose access to health care. They've done everything that seems counter, so you make a good point. I think right now what we're finding is, talking about health care and prescription drug prices, talking about good paying jobs and investing in our infrastructure, and then talking just about the culture of corruption in Washington seems to be what resonates the best. And I think it definitely overlaps with what you're saying, but some people see it in the aspect of healthcare. Some are seeing it in the aspect, as I talked to some union workers in Des Moines just yesterday, who are going to wind up with a tax increase because of the tax cut bill, because they've lost deductions on things that were part of their normal expenses, but they're not rich people. They weren't having anyone look out for them in the Republican caucus. So your point is well made.
Kevin, in Olympia, Washington, you're on the air with Congressman Pocan.
Hi, this is Kevin. Am I on?
You're on the air, Kevin. We have two minutes to the end of the hour.
Sorry, we had some static there for just a moment. My question's about, by the way, I'm not a troll. I was discharged as a conscientious objector from the Air Force, so no way I'm going to be taking that tack. But my question's about Kavanaugh, Senate rules. The Dems had to, or some of them had to, ignore the rules in order to reveal some information, put them at risk for dismissal from Congress. At the same time, they took an oath to uphold the Constitution. So my question generally is about that conflict and for the congressman maybe resolving that and taking that risk, and is there any precedent? So that's all I want to ask.
Yeah, so I think, are you referring to a Cory Booker releasing some documents and things like that?
Yes.
Yeah, so, you know, I think these are unprecedented times, right? And, you know, we watched the obstruction when Barack Obama had a full year left and they wouldn't pass his nominee, and we've watched that happen. In this case, you know, if they're not going to give you the information you actually need to confirm someone for the rest of their life, I think Democrats are finally standing with a firmer spine, which I'm pretty glad about, and doing some things that maybe will raise some of these questions. But, you know, clearly this is the most strange time, I think, in many of our lifetimes to watch what's happening in Washington. And I think it's, you know, time Democrats fight back with a bare knuckle, and I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah. And by the way, we have about 20 seconds to the end of the hour. What should we be looking for in this coming week here, Congressman?
So next week is going to be a very busy week in Washington with the Kavanaugh hearing, and the House is back in maybe for the last week. Make sure you're reaching out to your members of Congress and the Senate. This may be your last blast before the election. And in the House, I know at least people are in districts. Find your member of Congress where they're at in the public and make them answer some questions. This may be your last few weeks to do it.
Yeah, and the Republicans are in all probability going to be hiding out, right?
Oh, yeah. I think check some local country clubs. You might find them.
There you go, or the golf course. Congressman Pocan, thanks so much for being with us today.
Absolutely, Tom. Thank you.
Great talking with you. Middays with Mark here on the Tom Hartman Program. His website, pocan.house.gov. You can tweet him at Rep. Mark Pocan. And a great guy. Greg Palast is up next. Stick around.
You're listening to Tom Hartman.